Good morning and welcome to our worship service this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence to hear your holy word and to worship and praise you for your great love. May our worship be pleasing in your sight, and may you give us your Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith, increase our love for you, and keep us steadfast until that day when Christ shall come and take us to our heavenly home to live with you forever in peace and joy. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Our first hymn today is Jesus' Priceless Treasure. Please rise. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit grace in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives the power to become the sons of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
We pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful, and give us those things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson is from the 53rd book of Isaiah, beginning in the 10th verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. Alleluia. The second reading is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning the 35th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit, one at your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those who for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself, and he said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here ends our second reading. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, O God, Forsake Me Not.
Please rise. Grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied to you from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider for our meditation this morning for your faith life is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, intercessor, and advocate before God the Father, dear fellow redeemed. Each and every day of our lives, we're confronted with temptations to sin against God. We don't have to go anywhere or see anyone to be tempted. Temptation comes to us without turning on the television, reading printed media, or surfing the internet. And how is it that we can be tempted even without these outside external forces? We learn about it in the Epistle of James, where we are told of a daily deadly source of temptation that we have to contend with. And he tells us of the domino effect that this particular source of temptation can have upon us if we don't nip it in the bud. We read there in James, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It is our internal, sinful, corrupted nature that can tempt us, deceive us, and lead us down a path that takes us away from our Lord. And the sad reality of things is that because of our sin-corrupted minds and hearts, we fall into countless sins every single day of our lives. How can we who are corrupted with sinfulness presume to think that we can come before the holy throne of God and have a life of fellowship with him? How can we expect him to keep on granting us forgiveness when we keep on sinning against him daily, or hear our pleas for help when we are so sinful? Even sinning certain particular kinds of sins again and again and again? Or how can we who are weakened by our sinful frailties hope to be able to resist and to withstand that powerful evil force of the devil? In answer to all these questions, we can rejoice in the comforting and reassuring message in today's scripture text that we sinners can approach the throne of grace with all boldness and confidence to find mercy to help in every time of need. The concept of, and because we have a high priest, that is the main thing to keep in mind. We have a high priest in Jesus Christ. That's why we can come with boldness before the throne of God. The high priest is Jesus. Now, in today's world, a high priest doesn't mean anything. People are not familiar with the concept of high priest. But in the Old Testament days, the believers of God, they knew full well what the high priest, who he was and what he was all about. They knew that the high priest represented them before God. The high priest was the one who made sacrifices for their sins. It was a high priest who interceded for them, offered up prayers for the people. When we think of the Lord Jesus being our high priest, we should never think of him as being far removed, detached, or uninterested in us, or that he's not fully aware of what we're like or appreciate our sinful and weak condition. Holy Scripture tells us we have an elder brother in Jesus Christ. He's a brother unlike any other, more special than any brother that we have, who's concerned about us and loves us deeply. And not only is Jesus our elder brother, he is our Lord and our God. He knows us. He knows what you're thinking right now. Fully aware of our weaknesses, which can make us so vulnerable and susceptible to sin. And he sympathizes with our weaknesses. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus condones, overlooks, or makes excuses for our weaknesses. Rather, it is revealing him as having an understanding and a compassionate heart toward us as sinful human beings. Jesus can also personally sympathize with our being tempted. As a popular saying goes, he's been there. While Jesus did not have a sinful nature like we have that tempts us from within and causes us to be inclined to sin, nevertheless, throughout his entire life, Jesus was tempted. There are so many temptations and so great a temptation, we can't even fully begin to comprehend them. It's beyond us. Now, since the devil knew from the very outset what Jesus was all about, why he came into this world, he mounted his attacks on Jesus. Ongoing attacks with every evil force and resource at his disposal to tempt Jesus to sin. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus was led out into the wilderness to face that great tempter. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was faced with everything that the devil had to throw at him, to deceive him, to beguile him, to allure him, to entice him, to transgress God's holy will. The temptations of Jesus continued to the final hours of Jesus' life, trying to get him to sin so that he failed in his mission of our salvation. When in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was agonizing over what he would be suffering at the hands of his enemies from the heavy load of sins on his soul, and suffering that hellish punishment, the devil was there and under the cover of darkness saying, don't go through with it. You don't have to suffer all that for those wretched sinners out there. And while he was on the cross, the tempter's voice could be heard in Jesus' enemies, mocking and ridiculing him, taunting him, trying to get him to come down from the cross and save himself. Yes, Jesus knew what it was like to be tempted. In fact, he was tempted beyond anything that we can ever imagine. So, if there's any question in our minds about Jesus' understanding what it's like for us to be tempted, he knows. Nor should we ever doubt that Jesus has a sympathetic spirit toward us. What is an even greater comfort to us when we think about Jesus being tempted as we are is to know that, unlike us, he never gave way. He never fell into any kind of sin. He never had a sinful thought, feeling, or emotion. He was never guilty of a sinful word or action. The Apostle Peter testifies of Jesus in his first letter that Jesus committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Not only did Jesus withstand temptations from throughout his life, but he withstood the temptations to come down from the cross and not go through with it to redeem us. Because of this, Jesus was our perfect Savior who alone can represent sinners before the throne of God as our high priest. Because of Jesus' perfect life and death as our Savior, instead of us finding a throne that is unwelcoming, of God banishing us before his presence because of our failures, or not willing to hear our pleas for help, we find that because of Jesus, our Savior, being high priest, we can come before the throne of God with boldness and confidence to find help in every time of need. May we never be deceived in thinking that we can do that because of any goodness, merit, or worthiness in us. No. Our boldness and confidence rests upon the fact that this is a throne of grace. We know when you come to God, he's not going to treat us the way we deserve. That is, banish us, condemn us eternally. Rather, he will be treating us according to his unmerited love because of Jesus' perfect life and perfect death as our Savior. As our high priest, Jesus is our understanding and loving intercessor through whom we can approach the throne of God and is our gracious advocate who pleads our cause before the Heavenly Father on the basis of his righteousness, on the basis of his shed blood. Having Jesus as our high priest who made it possible to find a throne of grace on high, we can come with boldness and confidence before God's throne. When we think of the countless times that we have given way to temptations and have repeatedly been guilty of sins in our lives, have you ever had a question in your mind? How long God is going to put up with us? How long is he going to keep on forgiving us? And stop forgiving us and not accept us back? We can only wonder how many cases there have been where there have been people who don't know or understand Jesus, who are very sinful, and they've just given up hope that God is going to keep on forgiving them and accepting them back. In those times of fear or doubt concerning this critical matter, remember that we have a sympathetic high priest in Jesus who understands our weaknesses and the kinds of temptations that we're faced with. Remember that we have a patient God who is long-suffering, forbearing, and forgiving. Listen to the way he speaks of himself. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Remember the wonderful truth. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he atoned for all of our sins, no matter how many they are, no matter how great they have been. He has paid the price for our forgiveness. And it's because that God's grace covers all our many sins. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul writes and as he testifies to this wonderful grace of God. Where sins abounded, grace abounded much more. Now just think of it this way. Here's your pile of sins. God's forgiving grace is infinite, taking care of all those many transgressions. This wonderful, gracious, forgiving way of our Lord and God is not to be mistaken as a license to sin, to do whatever we like, because, well, God's going to always forgive me, so I can keep on doing what I'm doing against God's will. That's not God's forgiving grace. That's not what it's intended for. God will keep on forgiving us as we turn to Him with a penitent spirit and a believing heart. Praise be to our great High Priest Jesus, through whom we sinners can come with boldness and confidence to the throne of grace and continue to receive forgiveness day after day after day without fail. Concerning the temptations we're faced with each day, there's another important matter in which we sinners come to the throne of grace with boldness and confidence. It has to do with our receiving help to resist and withstand the tempter's might. When Jesus was in the garden being tempted by the devil, he knew that Satan was going to go after his disciples too. That he was going to try to get them in their weakest moments to forsake the Lord and reject him in unbelief. And so Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Since we ourselves are weak and powerless to be able to overcome the devil, Jesus gives us a word of counsel. He says, "I want you to keep your eyes wide open to see where the devil is working. Is he working at school? Is he working at your place of work? Is he working through the entertainment industry?" You have to be aware that he is ever lurking, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So keep your eyes alert for where the devil is working. And not only that, but you keep your eyes on the Word of God and His promises and His faithfulness to help you in every time of need. And what do you think is going to motivate us to want to follow the Lord and reject the devil? Is it not His redeeming love for us, His gift of forgiveness, His gift of eternal salvation? That is what is behind that God gives us the strength to fight the devil and with His help to overcome him. And remember to pray when you're faced with temptations. Pray to Jesus as your advocate, your intercessor, because that's the channel through whom God will work in return to give you the help that you need to overcome the devil. Sinners though that we are, always remember that we have a great High Priest in Jesus Christ who understands and sympathizes with us in our struggles, and who himself was tempted but remained without sin. Praise be to God because he was our perfect Savior that lived a perfect life, that died a perfect death. We have a wonderful High Priest that's always going to be our advocate, who's going to plead our cause before the throne of God. And because of him, sinners though we are, we can come with boldness and confidence before the throne of grace and find help in our time of need. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the next hymn, How Firm a Foundation. If you're using a hymnal, it's 728, not 421. How Firm a Foundation. Our prayers have been requested for Pastor Timothy Daub and his wife of South Dakota. This past week, Pastor Timothy was traveling by air to Pakistan along with missionary Todd Ullman. During the course of that flight, Pastor Daub suffered three very life-threatening seizures. And just a short distance from him were medical professionals who were there to perform life-saving techniques. Because of the seriousness of this attack on Pastor Dove's body, they had an emergency landing in Dubai, where an ambulance was waiting to quickly take him to a hospital. He was unconscious, put into ICU and intubation, where they put tubes in the ICU. And he was unconscious for some time, and they had him go through a series of tests, including MRIs. And then gradually he came to, and he is gradually restoring, having his strength restored. And so we want to approach the throne of God on behalf of him and his family in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for mercifully and faithfully watching over and caring for Pastor Dahl during his health crisis. When he had three life-threatening seizures on the plane, you had the right medical professionals available on the board of the plane to perform life-saving procedures. You saw to it that the plane made an emergency landing in Dubai, where Pastor Dove was quickly taken to a hospital to provide him with the necessary care to protect and preserve his life. We thank you, Lord, for enabling Pastor Dove's health to improve so that he will soon be released from the hospital. If it is your will, O Lord, help Pastor Dove's health to get better so that he is able to travel again, eventually bringing him back together with his family. Gracious Lord, you are also to be praised and thanked for being with Pastor Dove's family during this time of health crisis for their loved one, giving them the necessary courage, perseverance, and comfort that all things will work out for the good of the husband and father. All this we pray in the name of the great physician, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, were it not for your mercies, by which you guard, guide, and strengthen us, we would long ago have returned to a life of sin and unbelief. How many and how powerful are our enemies? Satan attacks our faith, trying to crowd you out of our hearts and to sow the seeds of doubt and confusion in our minds by false teaching. With deadly persistence, he strives to turn us from the way of righteousness and lead us down the paths of sin. Father, through the Holy Spirit, daily increase our faith in Jesus, our Savior. Make it a strong shield with which we're able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We know by bitter experience that the world is no friend to bring us closer to you. It continually beckons us with its lustful pleasures, its earthly treasures, and its many gods. Through the Holy Spirit, strengthen our love for Christ so that the world will not be able to gain control of our hearts and fill us with love for material and sinful things. But evil temptations also attack us from within, for we have our sinful flesh, in which dwells nothing good, in which continually strives against our new man. Give us such a rich measure of the Holy Spirit that through his grace, our new man will more and more win the victory over sin. O Father, do not permit any temptation to endanger our faith or to turn our footsteps to paths of sin. In every temptation, provide us with a way to escape and the wisdom and courage to use it to flee from sin and lusts. Keep us from being filled with pride and a false sense of security, lest we think we're never in danger of falling. Through your Spirit, strengthen our faith against all temptations. Direct us to live our lives to you. We must confess that we've often lost the battle against temptation, for we've sinned. Pardon our iniquities for the sake of the suffering and death of your beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. in whose name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with a final hymn. Thank Timothy Blank for conducting the liturgy. I'd like to begin the announcements by reading to you a message that we received from Pastor Luke and Jules. I don't know if all of you received it, but I'll read it for you. Hello, St. Stephen family. I wanted to send you a note to let you know that Jules and I arrived safely at our destination in Hales Corners, Wisconsin this morning. We were greeted by some members of the congregation and some of our family members today as they helped unload our first U-Box, which also arrived safe and sound. They've been very welcoming and enthusiastic to have them here, which has really helped soften the blow of having to say goodbye to all of you last week. Praise God that our trip across the country was pretty uneventful for us and the cats, and the Lord has provided us with beautiful weather, warm weather, for our first days here, 70s and even 80s. Wow, we did not expect that in late October in Wisconsin. We cannot thank you all enough for your love and support over the past 7.5 years and all the help that you gave us in preparation for our move. The memory book was incredible and was so much fun to look through, and we read through on our drive across the country. We love you all and miss you already. Please pray for us as we transition to our new congregation home and area. We'll be thinking of you and praying for you as well. With love and prayers in Christ, Pastor Luke and Jules. I think somebody else. Anyway, some of the announcements this morning. I'd like to ask the council members that are here if they have time to go over to the parsonage and quickly to take a look at the situation, what needs to be done there, if that works out for you. Tuesday will be the Board of Education meeting. Oh, I'm getting a lot of feedback here. I don't like to hear my voice that much. So the Board of Education meeting on Tuesday at 6, and we're going to have a new Zoom room. And that's the Schmidt Zoom room, and I would assume that you'll be sending out the link to everybody who will be participating in that meeting. If you also include me, I would appreciate that.
Yes, also
that I'll let you. Okay. Next Sunday, there's a Reformation worship service at 10, followed by a voters' call meeting, since Pastor Handel returned the call, and that will be followed by a fellowship meal. A little bit about the vacancy, Pastor, and my part. I'm going to try to work into it gradually as far as my work on Sunday. I'm going to begin by preaching the sermon and finishing it and have Timothy do the rest for the liturgy, and then hoping that on the first Sunday in November I can do the whole service if the voice holds up okay. We won't be starting Bible class yet for a while to see how the voice goes and works. Oh, as far as special prayer requests, I would appreciate it if you would kind of send me a note ahead of time, like on Saturday. The contact information is there in the bulletin. Pastoral care, if anyone needs any care on my part, please let me know. Whatever it is, contact me. Also, the new members will note that there are boxes assigned to them. To find your box, just look on the side of the cabinet, and there you'll see your name and number. Now, following the service, there will be refreshments in honor of Reagan Fenton, who is celebrating her birthday today. And so we sing to her now. Hope we didn't embarrass you too much. And may God and His grace be with you always.